Good morning, family. I probably won't be up here very long, but we'll see what the Lord says. Will you bow your heads as we pray first? Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for being in the midst of this service already, Lord God. We ask that your spirit will continue to reign in this place and in our lives, not just today, but daily. We ask that whatever you want to say, that you would say it, Lord God, and that you would give clarity and bring deliverance and healing to each of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title that I believe God gave to me for today is Peace Be Still. And I'm going to start with this scripture, but then I'm going to give you a little background just about me, a personal story. So I'm going to try not to cry. But I brought my tissues just in case. Bear with me. The scripture comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And verse 35 starts with, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them," and this is Jesus talking to the disciples, "let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat to the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern," this is Jesus, he's in the stern, "asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them," the disciples, "why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So I'm going to take you back to a little bit of a life's journey for me. So it was, Kristen knows part of this story. So it was about April, in the early May this year. And my firstborn, who I love so dearly, Pastor knows it. Most of you know I love family. I will do everything in my power for my children, my husband. But those babies, they right up under my heart. And you probably heard me give my testimony, but I had my daughter very early in life. So there were things that I chose to give up because I wanted to give her the very best. I wanted to devote my time and my everything to her. Bear with me. I wanted to give her everything. And that I did. Not just me, but the whole family. First grandchild, you do everything for them. And so you know how that can, those of you who've raised some adult children, you know how that can sort of backfire on you just a little bit. And I'm going to speak to my part. And so we're having hard times because now she's a young woman. And I'm a woman, but I feel like, well, you still need to listen to me because I'm trying to protect you and keep you from things that I don't want to see you go through. And while my principles and my motives may be right, I'm not God, and I'm not her God. And so around April, I reached my limit. We've been having our difficulties, but I reached my limit, and something broke in me. I saw something in me that I never want to see again. I saw a behavior. I saw how I reacted to things she did. But she's a person, and she's having to figure it out, and she's having to know God for herself, too. But what bothered me, what was in me. And I looked, and I said, and I couldn't shake it. I was angry. When I just told Chris, I said, "I'm just so angry." I didn't know where all this, not just angry with her, but just angry with life. And, you know, you come to a place where you do everything to make sure you succeed. You want to succeed. You may not say it to everybody else. I wasn't doing it for mom and dad. I was doing it for me. So as a single mother, initially, I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything in my power to succeed. I may not have said it out loud, but that was what was in my heart. And not only that, I wanted my daughter and my son to succeed. And I wanted my life to look a certain way. And it wasn't looking that way because I couldn't tell her what to do. And so we had a huge explosion. So much so I had to call out of work. And I don't call out of work unless absolutely necessary. And so that happens. And thank God Mom was there. And she said to me, and Chris said the same thing in two different settings. She says, I don't know what's going on, but what happened today can't happen again. And when she said that, I believe it was the Spirit that said it. It wasn't my daughter's actions that was the issue. It was what's going on in your heart, Ataba. There's some things. Life is not going to be a piece of cake. You're not going to be able to dictate all the storms in your life. But how are you going to react to all of them? So weeks go by, and I think about the things that were said, and I'm heartbroken. Because I love my baby girl, just like I love my son. And I'm just not understanding. And so God and I are having a lot of conversation. But God, but you know that I, and nothing. I met with Kristen and I had our girl talk. And she says, Ataba, you don't think that your relationship will be the same? I said, never, never, never. And it bothered me that with my own child, I felt like I couldn't have a relationship again. Weighty. Just by the words that were spoken, it had weighed on my heart. And then Pastor Mike got up on Mother's Day. So Mother's Day is going to never be the same for me. 2019 will go down with the birth of my children, marriage, because it changed my life. And Pastor Mike talked about nothingness. And he explained, he said something to the fact of when people say you're not going to be nothing, that's when you're in the right place. Because when it's just God and you're nothing, that is everything. That took me to a level I can't even put words to it. He talked about when you give something. Because remember, I talked about I gave my daughter everything. But in my heart, I was expecting something back. I didn't realize it. You know, as a mother, I didn't realize that I was doing it because I wanted her. I wanted that relationship. I wanted us to laugh and joke. And I wanted this. So I was giving the love, not unconditionally. And Pastor Mike reminded him, he said, didn't you have to speak on love one time in prophetic? And I said, oh, Pastor Mike, I don't want to hear that. I said, I do love. He said, and I got quiet, he got quiet, but it's the unconditional love. It's the love that means no matter what people do, what are you going to do? And so Mother's Day 2019 was a time I will mark because it changed my life. Because what I realize is I often say I'm a transparent person, but I'm a very guarded person. That's the other part. Yes, I can be transparent. So I might not necessarily hide what I'm going through, but there's a wall that I don't usually let people cross that you can see through, but you can't get through. Not through the word, not necessarily through what I say, but how I present myself. And that from April to Mother's Day, God broke something. And I've not been quite the same. And I know it's a work in progress. And I know there's many, many more storms and valleys that I have to get through. But it was so freeing because I had been that way so long that I didn't know I had gotten to that level. But something broke. And God knows who and what to put. And I'm thankful for this happening because, see, I'm guarded. But my inner core is my family. So God knew to allow things to happen in my inner core where I wasn't even expecting it to happen. So now he can address the matter. If it never had happened in my inner core with the one that's right next to my heart, he would have never been able to get through. None of you would have necessarily been able to get through because I let you close, but there's still that space. And that's what God began to deal with me about and began to talk to me and I'm nowhere near where I need to be. I'm a work in progress. But God saw fit to start the process. And so about 2 weeks ago, I was reading a devotional, and I came across, I felt like God was saying, peace be still. Because in the devotional, they didn't necessarily talk directly about the passage I just read to you, but it referenced it. And for 2 weeks, all I kept hearing is peace be still. Mom used to play this song by Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Mother Garner, I'm sure you're familiar, a few others are, peace be still. And, you know, I loved that song. As a kid, I would just, when she put it on, it was a record player, all of you millennials. It wasn't an iPod. It wasn't a cassette player. It wasn't too far from the 8-track. It was a record player. And she would start that album. And just at the beat, I would get excited, even as a child. And I thought, oh, my God. And she's talking about the story. Because Vanessa Bell Armstrong, for any of you who know, she tells the story. But from my understanding, I'm thinking, oh, wow, God's rescuing this person from these people from a storm. Wow, if he's an awesome God. He's going to save, you know, he'll save me. So when I'm in distress or in a hard time, wait a minute, I won't have to have a hard time, was my thought as I grew older. I'll just pray to God. And so for many of you, maybe you always understood the story. I didn't. So for 2 weeks, I said, okay, Lord, peace be still. So about a week ago, I said, Lord, is this what you're saying to tell the church, to tell our family? And I believe he said, yes, peace be still. So I'm going to take us back through the passage. So the passage of scripture, in some Bibles, they title it Jesus Calms the Storm. In others, they call it the wind and wave obey Jesus. When God first began giving me the level of understanding of this, he pointed out to me that the scripture was documented to remind God's people that he's present in the midst of life storms. You see, while some of us may never step foot off of land, and you might never necessarily need to be rescued from a sea, the storms of life are going to come to each of us. So that's what God showed me. It's unavoidable. We're going to have life storms. And so the storms of life can become powerful as they became. This is one example that I gave you. But there are many more I could go into. Each of you can probably think of a life storm. It can seem like it's going to kill or destroy us or take us out of our minds. But they can come in so many forms. They come in the forms of deaths of loved ones, health challenges, broken homes, betrayal, financial problems, homelessness, loss of jobs, loneliness, stress, work stress, children not making good choices, family not doing what we expect or want, drug and alcohol addictions, emotional and mental distress, chronic pain, accidents beyond our control, tragedies, missing loved ones, loss, disappointment, and so much more. Every one of us can fill in the blanks. Life storms can contain any one of these or a combination of two or more. Some of us may say, well, I could deal with just one, but for me, I have multiple. It's just not fair. We don't get to choose our life storms, but each of us are going to have them. Life storms, or some may call it suffering. In the text, the disciples were with Jesus, and they still panicked and asked God. They were with him. They were with the Son of Man, but they panicked. And they asked, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? This part sounded very familiar to me. It sounded like me, to be honest. When life is not going as planned or a tragedy happens, I myself question God. Anger, as I explained to you earlier. Rage, bitterness, panic, worry can consume me all at one time. How is this so when I say that I'm a child of God? That was what I was trying to process. God, I say I'm your child, but I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. I can't even make myself not be angry. But I was angry about so many things. I was smiling on the outside, that facade, but I was so angry on the inside. I pray for God to do something. Oftentimes we pray for God to do something. But if he doesn't work it out in the time that we expect, oftentimes we go ahead and do our own thing. Or in some cases we panic. I get here some examples of me. God, do you not care that my family is in chaos right now? I'm trying to make them do right. And I felt God's response was, and it came through Pastor Mike, you need to love. Love is not self-seeking. Other times, God, what about financial stability? I'm trying to manage the money. Why do I always have to be strategic about my money? I don't want to always have to be pinching pennies or having to budget it down to the penny. Why not? And God said this to me. You want the money so you will not have to depend on me. The issue is not the money. The issue is that you have made financial stability a god, little g, and I will not have any god before me. It is my supply, and I will provide it as needed. Sure, you want the money, so you will not have to depend on me. The issue is not the money. The issue is that you have made financial stability a god, little g, and I will not have any god before me. It is my supply, and I will provide it as needed. The day he said that to me, I could say nothing else. And very rarely am I speech, because I talk to God just like I talk to you. And I was just left speechless. Other prayers that's been prayed over the years, God, heal my mother-in-law. God, please heal my dad. God's response, I will. And not in the way you expect. I am sovereign. These are just a few examples of the life storms. How each of us responds will be different, as I said before. However, there is one thing that is definite. We will all have life storms. Remember, the disciples experienced a storm too. In verse 37, Mark wrote, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling. The winds and the waves started moving. It seemed like the boat would be overtaken. I began to think, what is the significance of the winds and the waves? Winds push you in a direction you may not be trying to go. Wind makes it hard to see and hear. Waves can overtake you. Waves can bring you underwater. The winds and wave, in other words, were like life storms. In life, you may end up going in a direction you are not trying to go. In life, it may be hard to hear and see at times. I'm talking about God. Life may seem as though it will overtake you. Life storms can make you feel like you are going under at any moment. But here's the good news. Your life and my life belong to God. If we believe that God is with us, what really do we have to fear? Remember, it is his life after all. Verse 39 states, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, peace, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. If you recall, it was Jesus' idea for him and the disciples to get in the boat and cross the sea at that time. I suspect Jesus may have known the storm was coming. Yet he told his disciples that it was time to go and cross over. If he had told them a storm was coming, can you tell me how many people would have got in that boat? How many of the disciples would have really got in that boat? Not me. I can't swim. And I'm not sure they had life jackets back then. If we knew every challenge we would face in life, how many of us would welcome the challenge or challenges? As I said, God knew what to do to get to what he was trying to heal, deliver me from. Just like with each of you, those challenges are bigger than us. So then after Jesus commanded the winds and the waves, he then spoke directly to the disciples. He didn't just speak to the elements. Now he's going to speak to his children. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And even after Jesus calmed the storms, the disciples were fearful and asked, who is this that even the winds and sea obey him? In this passage, I saw three things. I saw Jesus, who is God, the storm, which represents the storm of life, and the disciples, who I felt represented the church. So I asked God, where was the manifestation of faith in this passage? Because God asked them, where is your faith? And I believe God was saying to me, this is precisely why it was added to the book. God wanted us to understand that we as the church and children of God need to truly know God more than what he gives to us or situations that he makes better for us. We need to know God through the intimate relationship with him. The disciples were with Jesus and witnessed his miracles firsthand, yet they still were fearful and lacked faith. Same with me. I have experienced some miracles and have known God to be a present help, yet there is still fear in me and areas where I lack faith. The greatest gift or blessing God can ever give to each of us is himself and true relationship with him. To have God and absolutely nothing else is truly to have everything you will need in this life and eternity. God gave Paul revelation about this, which is why in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, he wrote, and this is the Message Bible version, I am not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. All we need is God. I know the pastors continue to admonish us and encourage us to this. Everything else on this earth will absolutely fail us. I'm sorry. The best husbands, the best wives, the best children, scholar roles, students, eventually it's going to fail. Your bank account may hold you, but it won't give you peace. To have God is to truly have everything. I haven't been living that long, but I have lived long enough to know that if I don't seek God's presence, if I'm not in his presence, I'm not happy. I don't have joy. I may have success. I may have stability, but I don't have joy. So that when life storms come, there's nothing to keep me. God, he's everything. We've chased the dreams, the goals, the relationships, the sex. I'm sorry, the success. That too. Thank goodness the children aren't in here. Oh, healing, family, acceptance, understanding and sympathy, validation from others, money and other tangible things. Since all of this belongs to him, why not seek after the one true source that removes the voids in our lives? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I don't know why I was asked to come do this, but I want to hug her. Amen. Amen. The Lord knows. This has been a journey. And it's interesting, even this morning as we were preparing for worship, and I couldn't understand why things went the way. I didn't have any. It came in. I didn't have any songs per se. But I just felt, and it's interesting because one of the things that I had sent off to the team when I sent them a message that we wouldn't be meeting yesterday is to be still. Be still before the Lord. I don't know where to even start, but I'm just kind of close, I guess, close with this. A few years back when my husband became ill, I guess terminally ill without us being aware that there was going to be a terminal illness that ended in death without us being aware of it. One of the things as we were praying and believing God for him to be healed from this, as we were prepared, as I was writing preparing the obituaries for the notice, and we sat there and I thought about it and I just couldn't bring myself to write anything, and I heard the Lord say, just go and rest. And so I went to bed that night and woke up very early the next morning and sat at the counter, had no, I guess, expectation. And as soon as I sat at the counter, I pinned on the paper the mystery of God's best. And as Ataba have shared so wonderfully in the message, there's so much about God that we don't understand. But the one thing that I've always in my heart that has bared witness is that God has always said to me is that he's sovereign. And then that means that he can do whatever it is because he is sovereign, because he's a trustworthy God. And it's difficult to sometimes to understand that and be able to identify with what the sovereignty of God is. But when our heart can take a resolve in him to realize that he is a trustworthy God, that even when we can't begin to follow or trace his hand, there's something about the compassion and the love and the mercy and all of that about God, that he knows what's best, that we can trust his heart. And until we get to that place, we'll always kind of vacillate in and out. But it's okay because he knows just what to do and what to bring us in. So here I pinned on this paper, going back to when my husband passed, the mystery of God's best. And what pretty much all that was saying was that even through some of the difficulties in the marriage, the storms, as she said, and in life and whatever we face, the things that we don't understand, that we try to wrap our minds around and to intellectualize, that at the end of there is God's best buried in our life situations, in life's storms. We can't identify it all the time. It's not readily visible to us. But encapsulated in life's storms, there is the superior life. It's some kind of way those difficulties get us to a place, maybe not in the very moment that we are in the trial or the circumstances, but if we will just buy in blind faith sometimes, just take the step and allow God to lead us in that. Somewhere in that journey, we'll end up owning and possessing something that is priceless to us, and it's the superior supernatural life. And that's what we're experiencing right now in PWM, is that all these years from the very conception, you know, people in and out, people coming and going and not understanding, but look, flip 10, 15, 20 years later down the road, look what God has done. It looked like, I don't know, it looked like it was failing possibly. It looked like God maybe possibly would never add to it. But there was a quality of heaven that he was trying to bring to the house. There was an elevation. There was not a religious formality that many of us grew up and have become accustomed to that he was trying to bring us into. He was trying to introduce it. And praise God to the man and woman of this house that they didn't compromise. They may not, I'm sure they probably didn't understand all of, maybe very minute of what God was doing, but there was something in them that would not let them succumb and give in to the establishment as we knew it. And so here you have these two individuals stepping out of tradition, stepping even out of contemporary tradition, because even though, you know, sometimes we step into a different kind of religion. At that time, it was naming and claiming. You know, it was the faith journey. But still, there was a law attached to it that still didn't allow people to come into and experience the fullness of what God had for us. So I said to say is that, yes, there are many storms in our lives. But ultimately, as Ataba shared so wonderfully, is that God is not far from wherever we are and whatever trials or circumstances or situation that we had. And they're difficult. They can be very difficult. I remember when she went through this experience. I remember when I share this over and over again, and it begins to make so much more sense. It means so much more to me. When my youngest daughter was going through a lot, and I had a whole lot going on me, and I wondered why I never quite completely collapsed in the midst of all those crises, if I share them with you. But I remember hearing and not quite understanding at that time that God says, I'm deepening something. I'm giving a depth to you, and even then, I'm deepening worship. And I had yet to understand and still understanding deepening worship in me because there was an uninterrupted presence that he was after. And so what I've gained now as I walk and I walk, I wanted to be the rescue for Lindsay. I wanted to be the rescue for my children because she said we want the best for them. But I thank God that some kind of way, even without my knowing, he would not let me put my hand on it. The only hand that he wanted to touch was that God wanted his hand of mercy, his hand of deliverance, his hand of removing idols, seen and unseen, out of our lives. And so we thank God for all that he's doing. Don't miss your moment, church. I'm telling you, God is in everything. He's in every moment, good, bad, the ugly. Don't miss it. I don't care what it looks like. He's in it. Find him in it. Locate him in it. And even if you don't, trust that he knows just where you are. And I'm going to end with this. And this is not necessarily probably a spiritual experience, but for some reason it resonates. Back at the beginning or the end of last year, I was on my way to the hospital. I think to see my mom. And just as I was walking, someone was walking towards me, but I never saw them because I'm sure I was so preoccupied with things. But a young man, the long and short of it, walked up kind of to me and said, remember this date. And he said, on such and such a day, January 1 or whatever, remember, I'm going to come back and I'm going to find you and marry you. Yeah, it probably was a line, I don't know. But the thing that resonated more so in my spirit, and I wrote this in a journal, there's two things that the Lord says, that wherever you are, I'll find you. I know where you are. And so wherever we might be in life, just know that there's no place that we can be. If you make your bed in hell, he says, I'll be there. So wherever we might be, trust God in the experience and with your life. Because there's nothing that he's not aware of. There's nothing that he won't do. But he's more than just about saving us, just to save us, that will not benefit us. His saving is for an everlasting time and eternity, superior life. And whatever that means, whatever superior means to you, will it mean that I'll be a millionaire? Possibly not. But you'll be a millionaire in the spirit. There's so much richness. That text or scripture that was read this morning from the message file, I leave you with this. The Lord, because he is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. Because he is my shepherd, you don't have need of anything. Because he is your shepherd, I don't need a thing. Amen.
Kennedy family, man. You know, this is so good. All right, right? So here's this unique group of people, and I'm not afraid to call you that, that God is touching and that he's ministering to, and he will not let you alone and me alone until we get a revelation of this, this lost authority, right? This lost authority. And because really what Taba ministered and Roz, Pastor Roz right behind her, was, this is what we're all searching for, this lost authority where things keep getting in the way. Good things, good relationships, good this, good that, good family members, they're just going to get in your way. And until he, and I asked her to read that over again, even financial stability can become a God to us. Because then there becomes a law attached to it, right? See, in Christ there is no law. In Christ there is no law. We are in the law more than we think. Right? It's not just biblical law, it's laws of life that you're supposed to be in a certain status. It becomes a law to you, and it becomes before Christ. And God has to keep getting under that and under that and under that. Even in your most visceral family times, he's got to get under that. This is what he did with Abraham. I got to take your son because he's getting in the way. You understand? God, reveal the laws in my heart that block me from knowing you. Because this is eternal life, that you know God. That's it. And his son. That's it. Thomas sent me a text a few months ago. It said this. Quick, little quip. Christ plus zero equals everything. Who was that from, Tyler? You remember Tertullian or something like that? Christ plus nothing equals everything. And we started having these kind of God encounters every day. Nothing fantastic, but just little nudges of bread, right? And you know, Randy sent me something yesterday. It was so good. There's Christ amongst us. You know, he's going to get underneath of us. And he's going to gain spiritual ground so we can gain that authority back without even knowing it. So don't, listen, don't claim authority. Just let him work on you. And the authority is going to come in itself. I was kind of waking this morning, and I kept seeing this book with blank pages inside of me. And the Lord was telling me, and as a Taba minister, it just started coming back to me, that inside of you, you know, you're a book. And it's like he was saying, the more you can read the Bible through, but just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that those words get in your heart. The Bible is full of good words, but the Bible in your heart can be just blank pages until I personally can come and give you experiences and start inscribing life down in your heart. And I keep seeing these blank pages. I said, God, I have more blanks than I have anything on them. Are y'all following me? I will write my laws in their hearts and in my minds, and then they will be my people. Here was God writing something in this woman's heart that she'll never, look, she said Mother's Day will never, you know why Mother's Day she won't forget? Because something got inscribed. The Bible. The life, the Bible is just the life of God. The life of Christ got inscribed in her heart that day, filled in a blank. There are many people who know the Bible here, but there's nothing really inscribed. There's nothing, just full of blank pages. So you get a ministry today. I'm telling you how God starts filling in the pages. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, by the way, is what she's saying. I'm not ashamed to tell you this. I'd rather have a page filled in than give you fluff in tradition or men's ideas of the Bible. I'd rather the Bible be my life. So, living epistles. Look, living epistles, not known by man, but we know what God knows. Is God getting underneath of everything? The most visceral relationship, mother and daughter, he's getting underneath of that. Shelley and Pastor Jerry were telling me about Izzy and how God's starting to get up underneath them now. So he's got to get up underneath us. Because we all lost that authority. We all lost that place with the fall. We all lost that intimacy. We all lost that really knowing God, that oneness with him, you know, the trueness. We have all these laws. Bam, 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 bam. Like she said, we had a gospel. I love that. The word of God, it was faith, you know. We believe God for this or that. But there was a law attached to that. But in Christ, there is no law. In other words, his life takes the place of everything. His life takes the place of everything. This is the way we're going. This is the upward climb we're going in. This is why you kind of don't know what's going to happen, because you don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know what's going to happen because you don't know what's wrong with you. There's some hidden stuff from you that you don't even know. That only he knows, and he knows the time that it needs to be dealt with. Come cross with me to the other side, because I know what I got to deal with in you. I know, he says. I know. You don't even know. And like she said, if I had told you, you wouldn't want to come. That's a Pastor Mike thing, you know. Time to die, Pastor Mike. Are you going to follow me? This is sort of the secret place that we're dwelling in. It's kind of a secret place, right? Because we don't know. The world don't know. Only heaven and God knows. And heaven doesn't know like he knows. It's that secret place. He that dwells with me in the secret place. You're going to abide there, and come hell or high water, I'm going to stay there, because he's with me and his rod and his staff comforts me, and he takes me through this level of grace and this level of nothingness and this level of nothingness until I get to nothingness where all I have is God. And I don't care that all, but that's all who I want is God. So he had to rip the rug up from under us. Believe me. Don't trust yourself. Believe me. Listen, I have hidden manna for you to eat. It's this hidden house, people. Let God feed us the bread of life. It'll be a wisdom. You know, it's going to start coming out in your life. So he's starting to give us the ministry of reconciliation after we learn that we have nothing in ourselves. He can't give it to us. You know, Pastor Jerry was telling me about this person she knows, and they go to this place and this place and this place, and Pastor Jerry said, well, who are you submitting to? What are you submitting to? And the person said, oh, no, we're freelancing. What do you mean freelancing? He can't give you anything to do until you know you can do nothing without him. Shelly and Jerry were talking about Izzy now. These things, God has to start plucking away the rocks a little bit at a time, you know, because them things don't come out too easy. That's right. Them rocks in our heart, they don't come out too easy. They're embedded in there. And he knows how to get them. You know, he's not going to just whack them out because, you know, you might go down with them. You know what I'm saying? It's a tender touch. It's a tender touch. And finally, we're getting some ground that's a little bit more tilled. And he can start to put a little bit more in it. Do y'all know how long it took us to get to even this place? Yet, he's doing it. Our minds are getting, those depraved minds are getting cleared up, you know. And then you're like, how did I even think that way? Kaba Thomas, thank you. Thank you for sharing life from the throne. And come on. This is so important she ministered that way because in this house, every lesson has to come through that same type portal. Y'all found we can't have a fluff gospel. We can't have a me gospel. We can't have a bless me gospel. It has to come through the cross. It has to come up under, you know, and out of our nothingness until and seeing what only the grace of God in the life of Christ can do deep in our lives and inner man. Now we don't want to be subject to anything but heaven. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Taba. This is why Nana understand what went on in intercessory prayer, that we had this open door to just get off our chest the things that was bothering us. And I never had that because I always felt like we were complaining or, you know, you're going to complain to God. But it was an open door this morning to just share with God everything that was going on. And after which he said, "Nan, I want you to see it the way I see it. You needed to come up to the kingdom in order to see what was happening here on earth and to see how I deal with it. You take your hands off it." And after that happened, we were able to pray unconditionally for the people in jail, for the sex traffickers, for the children that's in it. There was things that was coming out of my mouth that I never even thought about, that I could pray for them unconditionally. That was so. I thank you. It's like you brought it all together for me today, which meant so much to me. When I came here, I was feeling a little bit conflicted, you know, not understanding until God gave me that opportunity, us that opportunity, to just let go of everything. We could go to him and just, you know, get empty before him. And then he showed us how we could go through it, but to let go. And we had to come up. We couldn't stay on earth to get through it. We had to come up to the kingdom to watch him do it. And then he began to show me that unconditional love, that we could pray for everybody here, everybody with love, and not think about what's supposed to happen. But we did it out of that unconditional love. So I just want to thank you for that.
Father, we go our several ways now, meditating on all that you've given us this morning, God. Lord, keep it close to our hearts and in our spirit, Lord. When we begin to falter, Lord, bring it back up. Father God, we thank you for your hand of love. That's what you've extended to us this day, this morning, this afternoon, your hand of love. Total and unconditional love. You've reminded us of that, Lord. And we are so very grateful. And for that, we give you glory and we give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. And I thank you for each and every one who's under the, that can hear my voice. I give you praise for each and every one, Lord. Go with each one, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.